Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, say your name and your title.
I'm James Ross. I'm the music director of the Alexandria Symphony, and I'm happy to be speaking with you this morning, Jason.
Well, I'm happy too. We've been trying throughout this whole COVID to get an interview, and we've pushed it a couple times because this thing is so, it's impossible to predict, but finally, thank gosh, we are here and finally on opening week for you all. I want to get to, I'll chronologically move through your performances in a minute, but first, big picture it for me of how long have you all been shut down and just navigating this whole insanity of the past year and a half? How long you've been shut down? How excited are you to be back?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was worse for performing arts organizations, but we like to tell ourselves that it was rougher because the actual essence of what we do as an orchestra is put lots of people on stage, have them blow air around each other and try to do it in front of hundreds or thousands of people, okay? It's like, that was not a good recipe to have much success at all. And so we just, had to remake what we did. We had to turn things into chamber music performances outside in venues where the air was flowing freely, at retirement homes, in parks, and in kind of backyards. And so we kind of invented a new way of being as an orchestra that never involved more than about, 4 to 7 to up to 10 or 14 people. But still, it felt like it was important for us as an orchestra to realize that we're also a malleable collection of musicians who can actually make music happen in a meaningful way in any space. And in fact, very especially outdoor spaces were helpful for us. So yeah, we stopped playing our last concert officially indoors was February of 2020. And
then sounds just, about right.
Yeah, we gave a really nice concert with a lot of creative stuff, playing a string quartet of Florence Price's and some Mozart, where the orchestra was moving around on stage. And then March hit, and all of a sudden the whole plan for the rest of the season and then the season that followed just had to be kind of reworked or revamped, in some cases canceled, in many cases just kind of transformed into something else. So we made the decision to take the season that we would have done what we call last year, the 2021 season, and move it all into this particular one, because it was a really good season and we didn't want to just sort of like throw it out and just invent something new. And we got good at, or I would say better at, going with the flow and making whatever changes we need to. And if we need to, change a Beethoven 9 to a Beethoven 5, okay, we'll take the fall and do it. If we need to require that our musicians and our audiences are vaccinated or masked, we'll do it if that makes it possible for us to give concerts again. So frankly, it's, like anything could happen later this week, but we're ready to go with the flow and make a great, joyous return.
Cool. So that is, just to touch on what you said. So that is the policy. Is it mass vaccines, negative tests? What's the deal?
Like a lot of the performing organizations throughout the country, and we took our cue partially from our colleagues in other organizations, but we are requiring audience to attest a vaccination, that they have been vaccinated, and certainly the musicians on stage have a proof of vaccination, and those who can wear masks do. The audience will also be asked to mask during the concert itself, and it's really just to give everybody a sense of maximum protection, and then we're gonna make as much joy happen as we can. We're going to spread the orchestra out also a little bit, so they're not quite as close to each other. With all of those constraints, it's sort of like something great is still going to happen, and maybe even because of the constraints.
Oh, small price to pay is to finally be back listening to live music, I say. Well, before one final piece of housekeeping before we get to the shows, remind our listeners, I'm assuming people, know who you are, but let's pretend they don't. How long have you been around, and where, what venue do you perform in?
Great. Well, Alexandria Symphony has been around for 78 years now, and I started in their 75th anniversary season as their music director. We perform at the Rachel Schlesinger Concert Hall at Northern Virginia Community College. We also perform very often at the George Washington Masonic Memorial. However, the Masonic Memorial is both a smaller space and is only at 50% capacity. So some of our concerts we've had to either move over to Schlesinger or kind of adjust. But those are our two principal kind of venues for performance. I personally have been happy to be with the orchestra for these last 4 years. Well, I'm starting my fourth year, but it sort of seems like I missed half of my first 3 years because everything closed down after a year and a half. I'm from Boston originally. I used to teach at the University of Maryland. I teach up at the Juilliard School. I've conducted kind of all over the place, but I'm really enjoying leading this particular group, which is one of the great regional orchestras here in the DC community.
Very cool. And shout out to Terps.
Yay.
All right. Well, cool. Without further ado, let's hit some of the shows. We'll take them one show at a time. Yeah. So the big, grand reopening for you is this weekend, October 2nd and 3rd, with Beethoven's Fifth and Rhapsody. Explain what we got going on.
Great. Yeah. So I'll just tell you a little bit of the history. Our original plan, as you might have known, was to open with the Beethoven Ninth Symphony. Because of the rise in Delta variant, the Beethoven Ninth Symphony involves a chorus, a large chorus. And we just suddenly found that it was really hard for the choruses that we were going to collaborate with to be able to safely rehearse and prepare for this concert. So all of a sudden, we had a plan for a big piece that would have, heralded our arrival back. And we had no chorus to be able to do it with. So we made the rough decision about 3 weeks ago to shift the Beethoven 9 over to a concert that was based around one of Beethoven's other most famous piece all his pieces are great, but the Fifth Symphony has something iconic and moving and exciting and powerful and meaningful and overcoming for people. So that's the kind of headliner on the program is that. And then we also added the Rhapsody in Blue with a great pianist named Michelle Kahn, who I just visited yesterday up in Philadelphia to have a little rehearsal with. She's amazing. So the combination of those two pieces is something that that hopefully will make it very attractive for everybody to come. We're also playing the Copland Fanfare for the Common Man to start the program, and a piece that I'm really, really proud of having discovered and that I love by Valerie Coleman called Umoja, which is a Swahili word for unity. And there's a sense of wanting to be unified, both our orchestra with our audience and also us as a country and us as a city with each other, that unity is one of the ideas that is portrayed musically here so movingly and compellingly.
Great. So a little Beethoven, Gershwin, Copland, and the new Coleman one you're Coleman, talking about.
Yeah.
Great. Cool. Well, that's a great way to kick it off this weekend for October. And then moving ahead, the next round of shows is November, on November 6th and the 7th. What's Pictures at an Exhibition? This sounds... I know there's some film tie-ins too, right?
For sure. The idea for that program actually started with the film project. We had this idea that that usually the soundtracks of films comes in second place. You have an idea for a film, you start putting your visual images together, and then at some point you figure out what music goes with it. We wanted to kind of flip the order of that and say, okay, we're going to take a few great American orchestral pieces, pieces like Griffith's Clouds, Copland, John Henry, William Grant,
I stepped on you. Can you say that last one, William Grant?
That's okay. It's Manhattan Skyline and by William Grant Still, and there's six pieces that we chose, and we put out a call for filmmakers to invent a film with this as your given soundtrack. So the idea was, we will be playing this piece live and beautifully, and can you figure out how to make a film that you can say accompanies in a certain way these pieces rather than the other way around? So those six films sort of connected in our minds to Mussorgsky's great Pictures at an Exhibition, because in a way, these are moving pictures that are going to be exhibited. So on Saturday night, what we'll have is some of Mussorgsky, which is purely orchestral, you know, a few movements of that, and then we stop and watch one of the films, and a few more of Mussorgsky too. So they're interspersed, the commissioned films, which we are so, so proud of. I mean, they should have been performed, this whole concert, last November in connection with the Alexandria Film Festival, but they actually premiered many of the films. They called it a sneak preview, without live soundtracks, just with kind of public domain soundtracks. And we are so proud of what we've produced. Very especially, there's one film that's based on Alexandria. It's a piece by Copland called Our Town, based on Thornton Wilder's. He wrote for Thornton Wilder's play, and that Our Town is Alexandria. So we asked for the filmmaker to very especially see if they could capture the spirit of this city, and that is very connected to old, but also quite progressive in the way it thinks. And there's a nice clash or tension between those elements. So I'm really, really proud of the creativity that's gone into that program, and can't wait for audiences to be able to see the films that that have come out of this, and just see a great musical and visual exhibition.
Well, yeah, now you're talking my language, film festival. I love it. cool. Awesome. Well, that's a great show for November. Moving ahead, the third one is in December, from December 17th and December 19th. It's called Home for the Holidays. Very fitting. And some music and a little program that, you know, is popular around that time of year.
It is, exactly. So that's a kind of holiday festival of some sort. We had various ideas for this because there are a lot of holiday programs. Our ideas kind of went back to being just a little bit more traditional, because we feel like so many people have not been able to see any live concerts, and we wanted families to feel that it was safe to be able to bring kids and just hear things that are a little bit more familiar. The familiar doesn't feel familiar right now after the whole COVID event. So that program is a mixture of some Baroque music by Handel from The Messiah, and by Bach as well, with some excerpts from the Tchaikovsky Nutcracker that will actually be performed and danced live by the Northern Virginia Ballet, by Nova Ballet. And I'm excited about their collaboration with us. We're going to open up a space in front of the orchestra so the dancing can happen right on stage. And then the other element is mixing in Duke Ellington's own take on the Nutcracker. So it's like kind of old music, romantic music, and then kind of jazz, Ellington big band music. And we've tried to figure out a way to mix all those elements together in a way that will really feel and sound great for the audience. We're also going to hope to have a little bit of a sing-along, but people will be singing, of course, behind masks. So it'll be more of a hum-along.
Hum for the holidays.
Hum for the holidays. There you go.
But that's cool. That's cool. You'll get to see the Alexandria Symphony, the music, but then you also get some Ballet Nova dancers at the same time. That's really cool. That'll get us in the holiday spirit for sure. Cool. Fourth up, I guess it's all part of the 21-22 season. But the next one is February 2nd and 13th. February 12th and 13th. It's called Rachmaninoff Rhapsody. Explain.
Yeah. So the concert is built around two big pieces. One is by Rachmaninoff, called this Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini, that many people know from a tune, a famous tune that comes in the middle, which is just is amazingly beautiful.
Now we know it. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. But actually, the cool thing about that melody is it's actually just the main melody of the piece turned upside down. The main melody is, so you slow that down, and then it's for us who kind of think theoretically, there's something nice about it. You just take a tune and you flip it on its head. Our nice soloist for that concert is going to be Sarah Dineshpour, who's actually a Washington native, an amazingly beautiful pianist who's played all around the world, so we're very honored to have her with us as well. And then the other big piece on that program is a string quartet by Beethoven, Opus 131. And it might not be so familiar to audiences, but for the string quartet aficionados, they know that Opus 131 is probably his greatest string quartet among all great string quartets. It's in C sharp minor, and it has a kind of certain, it is sort of darkness and kind of overcoming. It's very, very hopeful, but also the tone is like that there's a lot of darkness around us, and we're doing our best to kind of live through it, and very, very, very heartfelt as well. So those are the two big pieces on that program. I think we start with Finlandia, and we also do a small piece by African-American composer George Walker called Lyric, which is also for string. So maybe the orchestration for that concert overall, at least the two middle pieces, are a little bit smaller, but it should be great fun, just the same.
Great, great. And then sort of wrapping up this current season is going to be April 23rd and 24th, Barber and Brahm.
Yeah. So that's with a violin soloist named Delana Jensen, with whom I have a long history. She's going to play the violin concerto by Samuel Barber as a main part of the first half of the program. And we're going to finish the program with maybe Brahms's most powerful symphony, the first symphony. And I keep saying the word kind of overcome, because what looked right about the whole season when we decided to transplant it was this sense that the overcoming that you can hear in music in pieces like the Brahms one, or in pieces like the Beethoven five, or the string quartet by Beethoven also, that actually would have special power or significance given all the frightening things that have happened around us, and many of us have experienced the kind of loss of a certain sort, and yet life goes on. And when you hear that kind of karmically represented through notes and music, I think it really, really connects. So these are great pieces in any time, but I'm really hoping that they're going to feel meaningful for everybody throughout the whole season. The piece that starts that program is also a commission that brings together the two sides of our organization. We have an educational wing, which is called Simpatico, and those kids based in John Adams Elementary School will be joining us on stage for a piece that was written expressly for them to collaborate with us. And it'll be just so beautiful to have all of the ASO, everything that we represent, the future and the kids and education and overcoming whatever obstacles, sort of represented in this piece called Tribute by Brian Prechtl that was commissioned by Classical Movements. And so that'll hopefully be a real joyous way to end up the season.
Great, great. Well, sounds like a great lineup. I guess before we run, I always like to end by, having you speak directly to the listeners, why should you come on out? Tell them why they should come.
Yeah, well, if any of you have been to the Alexandria birthday concert, you know that we sort of managed to conjure up musical fireworks and humor and energy. And we are not an orchestra that sort of is based around stiff rituals of any kind. We're a kind of energy, connection, breaking down the third wall, making everybody feel comfortable and trying to make the impact of the music be primary. It's going to be a little bit explosive because of the additional feeling this week of actually being able to sit on stage and play together ourselves. So if you would like to come on out, I'm sure you will enjoy this kind of explosive musical energy that has nothing to do with what some people think about classical music and has more to do with just making big music happen in a way that everybody can't help but feel it and be lifted up by it.
Awesome. Well, everyone check it out this weekend, Alexandria Symphony. Welcome back.
Thank you. That's exactly what I'm going to tell to the audience too. Like, welcome back. We missed you.
I'm sure everyone missed you too. Hey, thanks for doing this. This is great.
My pleasure, Jason. Thanks so much for hosting me.
All right. Thanks. Catch you later.
All right. Take care. Yeah.